Stafford County et al. Versus D.R. Horton et al. Jim H. Gwynn, Appellant's Counsel. John H. Foote, Appellee's Counsel.
Justice Powell is on the line by telephone. She, however, cannot be seen on the screen, so that both of you know the full court is hearing your case. All right, Mr. Gwynn, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Jim Gwynn, and I'm here today on behalf of Stafford County. Your Honor, my intention is to save 3 minutes for rebuttal.
All right.
Today, Stafford County is asking you to confirm that the county, and not developers, has the authority to decide where to provide water and sewer service within the county, and the circumstances under which the water and sewer service will be provided. There are two assignments of error in the case. Both of them are questions of law that will be reviewed by this court de novo. Now, the Appellees, Metz, and D.R. Horton are developers who own land in Stafford County. A portion of the tracts that they own are located in an area of Stafford County that is designated the Urban Services Area, or USA for short, and the rest of their land is located outside the USA. The USA is the area of the county that Stafford has designated for county water and sewer service. In 2005 and 2007, Metz and Horton sought review of their projects under Virginia Code 15.2-2232 and subsection A underneath it, in which the Planning Commission of Stafford County determines whether or not extension of water and sewer service to the areas of their property outside the USA is substantially in accord with the adopted comprehensive plan of Stafford County. The Planning Commission decided in 2005 and 2007 that extension of water and sewer to the parts of the conventional subdivision submitted by Metz and Horton outside the USA was in conformance with the comprehensive plan. The subdivision that Metz submitted to the Planning Commission as part of its request for 2232 review had 24 lots. The Horton conventional subdivision had 145 lots. In 2012, Metz and Horton submitted revised plans for a cluster concept subdivisions for approval by the Stafford County Planning Department. The Metz cluster subdivision had 45 lots, and the Horton plan had 196 lots. The Planning Department advised Metz and Horton that they should obtain 2232 review for the new plans. Metz and Horton refused and filed these suits against the county. The trial court, sitting without a jury, ruled that the county could not conduct a 2232 review for a cluster subdivision under 15.2-2286, and even if it could, the previous review was sufficient. The trial court erred. The Planning Commission's 2005 and 2007 reviews were tied to, and the motion says, to this request for review. Therefore, the commission did not say any development outside the USA would receive water and sewer. They were specifically talking about the request that was before them. In assignment one, we argue that there is no conflict between Section 15.2-2232 and Section 15.2-2286 regarding review to determine the availability of water and sewer to the project. The trial court ruled that the county could not conduct a 2232 review of a 2286 cluster development because of the by right nature of the cluster development. This ruling overlooked the requirement that the cluster development be located in an area that is designated for water and sewer. And obviously in this case, a portion of the development was not designated for water and sewer. Therefore, 2232 review was necessary to determine that the comprehensive plan was consistent with extending water and sewer to the unserved area.
Council, may I ask you this? Does it matter to what extent a portion is outside of the area designated for water and sewer? In other words, let's say it's a tiny sliver as opposed to 20% or a majority. Does that matter?
The statutes don't seem to take that into account, Your Honor. In 2286, it talks about all of the development being within an area designated, and it doesn't tell us how much outside makes a difference. So okay. In this situation, the fact that some of it is outside and that that number of lots changed is what required the second 2232 review.
Right.
So couldn't the cluster proposal be downsized to take out the overage?
Your Honor, if the cluster subdivision were solely in the USA, solely in the area that is designated, if it were downsized to that, absolutely.
Okay, so there is a remedy for this for a developer if it's feasible under the site plan to do that, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
The other thing that we have to keep in mind is because the county never had the chance to do the 2232 review, we don't know that it still wouldn't have been developed as it was submitted the second time.
So the remedy you would get from us if you win the case is just the trial court is directed to remand it back to the Planning Commission. Is that right? For the 2232
yes.
review.
Yes, Your Honor. Or, as you said earlier, the developer could reduce to the development just inside the USA. That's not a remedy that this court would give. That would be a choice that the developer could make later if they still had some reason that they didn't want to appear in front of the Planning Commission again on a 2232 review. So that they would actually have two options.
Thank you.
The mischief in the trial court's ruling is really very obvious. Whether purposeful or not, developers could obtain a positive 2232 review for one plan and then modify the plan to include many more lots, and the county, for lack of a better term, would be stuck with providing water and sewer for more than the plan for which its Planning Commission provided the positive 2232 result. In this case, you're talking about an increase by Horton of 50 lots, which is about a third of the original number, 140 up to 190 approximately. In the Metz case, it went from 24 to 45, so almost 50%. It could be worse. It could be because there's no limit to the issue of how much. If a developer came in and was approved for 30, then under the developer's arguments in this case, they could put in 100, 150. There's really no number that limits how much water and sewer the county would have to provide to the development. And in fact, that's exactly what happened in this case when you look at the numbers, again, up by a third in one, up by half, or almost double, I'm sorry, in the other. In its ruling, the trial court essentially removed the county's control over expansion of its own utilities. And the trial court erred in doing so, and we would submit that the proper remedy from this court would be to remand it for the trial court to order that the developers submit the 2232 review if they want to continue to develop as they have submitted. The second assignment of error concerns the trial court's ruling that the original Planning Commission review under 2232 was sufficient for all subsequent development of the property. And in many ways, the argument is the same. And this was the trial court's position that even if we were correct in requiring the 2232 review here, it had already been done. The problem with that, of course, is that it's the same problem as the first assignment. No matter what the number was the first time, the developer comes back and wants to increase it the second, and the county's hands are tied, and it ends up having to provide much more water and sewer service than it had planned, obviously at a different price. And ultimately, it's a taxpayer issue from the standpoint of what the cost is to the taxpayers. Much of the evidence at trial addressed the differences in the plans submitted in 2005 and 2007 and then in 2012. And there was a lot of argument in the briefs over how much of a change there really was. The one thing that there wasn't an argument over, and I'm not trying to be graphic or earthy when I say it, is that when you go from 140 to 190 folks, you're increasing flow. And that obviously has an impact. And somebody has to make a decision as to whether that's the sort of impact that can be absorbed by the county in its current water and sewer setup, or even in the water and sewer setup that it had anticipated based on the original plan. And as a result, nobody's done that. We've had, the trial court was not really called upon to do that. The argument there was merely to point out to the trial court that somebody, we think in this case, the Planning Commission is obvious, somebody needs to make that decision. By turning the Planning Commission original 232 review to an amendment of the comprehensive plan, the trial court turned it into a legislative body. I mean, it took away the authority that the Board of Supervisors has under Virginia Code Section 15.2.4 to amend the comprehensive, place that in the hands of the Planning Commission by virtue of its rule. We would submit to the court that the trial court erred in ruling that the initial 2232 review was sufficient for all purposes. We would ask the court again to reverse that and ultimately remand the case for a return to the planning process and to the Planning Commission for that 2232 review. Thank you.
All right, you have 3 minutes and 52 seconds remaining.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome. Mr. Foote, you may proceed.
Your Honor, may it please the court, my name is John Foote. I do represent D.R. Horton and Metz LC in this case. The tainted core of the case that the county has presented is its failure, or in fact its simple refusal, to understand the nature of a 2232 review and its difference from a by right cluster subdivision proposal. 2232 is simply not a subdivision control mechanism. It is not a means of regulating by right development. It is a statutorily based mechanism by which the Planning Commission makes a discretionary determination as to whether the general or approximate location, character, and extent of a particular public facility, and here the extension of a public sewer line, is or is not in substantial accord with the comprehensive plan. That's what it did in 2005, and the comprehensive plan itself is general or approximate. A cluster subdivision plan, which is an entirely separate thing that is by right by Virginia statute, is a mechanism which encourages a property owner to preserve open space when dividing land for home building. Those are two entirely separate processes under Virginia law. The county, however, says that they must necessarily be read together and to relate one to the other. We submit to you that the statutes do serve entirely separate purposes that are distinct from one another and perform entirely different functions. And in fact, the Planning Commission is forbidden by the statutory structure from considering the actual subdivision plan that is before it when it's considering an extension of utilities, because in some circumstances, utilities are not, a plan is not even before it which considers. In this case, there were, but when the resolution passed in 2005 and 2007, there were no conditions placed on it, no mention of any particular subdivision plan incorporated into the determination that the extension of these utilities into this area, where sewer lines already exist and where a portion, approximately half of these properties, were both already in the urban service area. What we'd suggest to you is what makes this argument on the county even possible is that these two statutes aren't related, but in the peculiar facts of these circumstances, which may never occur again, they're kind of like traveling buddies. Because back in 2005 and 2007, A traditional subdivision plan was taken to the Planning Commission to extend sewer to all of the properties so that they could all be developed as a traditional subdivision on public sewer available to all of both of the properties. Well, it wasn't until 2012, even though the subdivision enabling legislation for cluster projects was developed several years earlier, that Stafford County got around to adopting a cluster development plan, a subdivision ordinance. Well, no sooner did it do so than our clients came in with cluster concept plans to preserve open space, because at the time the county's ordinance did what was permissible under the enabling legislation, which was to seek additional density by doing that cluster. No sooner did our clients do that than the county sought to amend its cluster ordinance to change the rules. And in fact, this court may remember that I was before it in 2015 on this same case, discussing whether its attempted amendment of the ordinances mooted the case, which this court rejected, because it noted that, well, we might well be back here on the larger battle about whether they could in fact require the approval of these plans or require a second 2232 review at a later date, and here we are. How are these statutes so separate from one another? The first of which, of course, is that a 2232 review in Stafford County requires a public hearing.
Counsel, this is Justice Kelsey. If I may interrupt you with a question.
Yes, sir, of course.
Looking at the cluster statute, 15.2.2286.1b, as I understand it, it basically says that localities have to extend sewer services from adjacent properties to cluster development, quote, provided the cluster development is located within an area designated for, skip over some words, a sewer service, end quote. So yes. Is this, neither of these two cluster development areas are wholly within an area designated presently for sewer service. Am I right, or do I have my information wrong?
You are correct that they are not within the urban service area, but in 2005 and 2007, the determinations by the Planning Commission effectively made these areas designated for sewer service. By determining that public utilities, public sewer service could be extended to these properties, that effectively designated the second set of the extra portions of these properties for sewer service. They don't have to be in the formal urban service area to be designated for sewer when the Planning Commission has made the determination that it is appropriate to extend public service to that public sewer service to that portion of the property.
Okay, well, educate me a little bit more on that, because I'm reading the language of 2286.1b to say, provided the cluster development is located within an area designated for sewer service.
And I submit to you that the answer remains the same. When the county passed those resolutions, it designated it for sewer service.
Okay. Thank you. You may proceed.
So the distinction between the two, I go back to the fact one requires a public hearing, the other is explicitly administrative and by right. The county's ordinance does not mention the comprehensive plan at all in connection with the approval of a cluster development plan. PC's ruling is discretionary, and I repeat, and it's important to recognize this, that this court recognized that is a something that the Planning Commission, subject to an appeal to the Supreme to the governing body, that is something that the Planning Commission has the express statutory authority to do, which goes back to the Justice Kelsey's question about whether they have in fact building for sewer service. They have a statutory authority to make this kind of determination, and they have done so. The PC is not the locality staff for purposes of administering the subdivision ordinance under the James versus City of Falls Church case, where you expressly said Planning Commission is not part of the locality staff, and the locality staff is supposed to be approving these cluster subdivision plans. And the trial court expressly analyzed these two procedural structures and said they can't be reconciled because all that the subdivision, all the subdivision ordinance does is say we can save open space by following the county's ordinance, and 2232 says you get to make a determination whether extension of a utility or a fire station or whatever else might be considered under 2232 is consistent with a comprehensive plan if it's not actually specifically shown in a comprehensive plan. That's why 2232 is there, is to fill in the gaps, because you can't expect a locality to include everything in its comprehensive plan.
Council,
this is Justice Mims. Yes, sir.
My question is this. We've been dealing with the existence of sewer pipes. I'd also like for you and Mr. Gwynn, on his remaining time, to address capacity, because clearly there are two separate questions and they relate to each other. And the fact that that back in 2005, 2006, a policy determination was made about where sewer should exist doesn't answer the question about sewage capacity. And that seems to relate to his argument about the expanded size of the subdivision.
The trial court itself, at some point during the course of its, and I have the test, I have it here if I can find it immediately. The trial court itself, at some point, somebody in this case is going to tell me what capacity has to do with the comprehensive plan question that's presented. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because the decision that, that sewer lines can be extended to this area is resolved in the development process, Your Honor. I believe that you're aware that, contrary to what counsel for the county has said, it's not the taxpayers that pay for sewer expansion and sewer development. It's the developer that pays for it. There's been discussion about the red herring of the lift station that will be expanded. Testimony before the court was that that lift station is paid for by what's called a pro rata share program, where the developers pay their pro rata share of what the expanded capacity needs might be. Capacity is not, in fact, what is going to be the issue with respect to this. The determination was, is the extension of sewer to this area consistent with the comprehensive plan? Not the question of whether the capacity today or tomorrow is going to be satisfactory. Not whether you get a little extra capacity need out of it, because the comprehensive, the statute, the ordinance the county passed at the time and that our clients properly took use of, expressly provided a density bonus at that time if you chose to use a cluster subdivision plan. And that's where these two statutes once again disagree with each other or separate from each other and simply ride along together at the same time, permitting the county to claim that they converge, at which point they never do. So the capacity is a red herring, Your Honor. That's not how this decision gets made with either of these statutes. With respect to the, we've addressed the proposition that we submit that these two cases are different. We would also submit to you that what you're looking at is remarkably similar to a case that I was able to argue to the court 9 years ago, and that's the Town of Occoquan v. Elm Street case. In that case, the county sought to strap a discretionary mechanism, in that case, a special use permit. They sought to strap that onto by right development with respect to steep slope. They tried to, I believe the court in its opinion in that case actually said, to politicize a by right process, and they can't do that. Well, that's exactly what we see here. The county is attempting to say that we have to strap the discretionary process of the 2232 process, 2232 mechanism, right on top of a subdivision process that the statute expressly says is not only administrative, but must be done without a public hearing and without anything except administrative approval by the county staff. That strikes me as having the very odor of town of Occoquan versus Elm Street some years ago. And we know it's a discretionary process because that's effectively how you described it in Board of Supervisors of Fairfax versus Washington, D.C. SMSA back in 1999. The Planning Commission was simply making a decision on the extension of utilities. It had no legal authority in the context of a 2232 review to make a ruling on the subdivision plan. And if you look at the testimony of what happened at the Planning Commission, there was a question that was raised about that, and they were told, no, you're looking at the 2230 extension, you're not looking at the plan. Now, the second thing that the county raises is that there were huge changes to the plan that, of course, necessitated the review by the Planning Commission a second time. First thing we would observe is the standard of review is not de novo. The standard of review actually is based on this is a factual determination that was made by the trial court here, and so we submit the question is one of where it's plainly wrong or not. The county claims that we simply ignore inconvenient evidence in the record. But what the trial court said was the county argues that the very differences in the plans would be sufficient ground for a subsequent 2232 review, and that's simply not true, because differences on their faces could still well conform with previous features for which compliance determinations have already been made by the appropriate authorities. That's volume 2, page 748 in the record. In fact, the undisputed evidence was that cluster plans would shorten the length of sewer lines on both projects and eliminate dozens of manholes. The argument that somehow that we're overburdening the system is simply poppycock. In closing, I would return to what the Chief Justice memorably said to me before, I've got it, you won, and you don't want to lose it, and we ask the same result. Please affirm.
That's not fair to quote the Chief Justice. All right, Mr. McGuinn, you have 3 minutes, 52 seconds. Or not McGuinn, Mr. Gwynn.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. The problem with that, you know, you can talk about there being shortened lines or whatever you want to talk about, but the bottom line is that Justice Mims is correct that there is a capacity issue here. And that capacity issue is taken into account under Section 15.2-2232 when it says that the review will consider the character and extent of each feature shown on the plan. And the extent has a lot to do with the capacity. That is how
Counsel,
much it is.
This is Justice Kelsey. 2286.1b, does that not play the pivotal role in the legal analysis? It says you've got to provide this sewer service so long as the cluster development is located in an area designated for ... sewer service. So his argument appears to be, if I understand it correctly, well, it is designated. The 2005-2007 plan approvals is the designation. What is it? Do you agree with that logic? And if not, why?
Your Honor, this is the point I was making earlier with regard to who can amend a comprehensive plan. And it's not the Planning Commission, it's the role of the Board of Supervisors. So if you accept the argument that the 2005 and 2007 reviews amended the comprehensive plan, then basically you're looking at Section 15.2-2204 of the code and saying, well, the legislature didn't mean what it said there. Not only can the Board of Supervisors amend a comprehensive plan, but every time the Planning Commission acts, it amends a comprehensive plan. And that's just not, you know, it's not supported by the statute. It's not supported by precedent.
Under that approach, though, it makes the evidentiary hearing irrelevant because it doesn't matter what the evidence is. They didn't have it designated for purposes of changing the comprehensive plan in 2005-2007.
They had permission based upon what they had submitted at the time. They had a finding that that was consistent with the comprehensive plan, Your Honor.
And well, isn't that just the same thing?
Well, it was until they changed the plan.
Well,
and once they
Help me out. You only got a little bit of time here. So if the development is located in an area designated or consistent with, apparently we're dealing with now, the comprehensive plan dealing with sewer service areas. Well, his argument is it is. That's what 2005-2007 did. And I think the counter response you're making is, well, things changed. Where does that come into play?
Well, you're reading, with all due respect, you're reading a little more into the statute than is there. Basically, it says an area designated for water and sewer service, and it doesn't say it can be designated by the Planning Commission. Therefore, I would submit to you that it hasn't been designated as is contemplated by the statutes just because the Planning Commission says that it's consistent with the particular development at the time with increasing it by however many, you know, lots at the time, 140, not all of them were in the outside the USA, or the 24 from Metz. So it's not a situation where that has changed what is designated for. It hasn't changed the area of what is designated for water and sewer.
Is it that 50 homes is consistent, but that doesn't mean 1,000 homes is consistent?
50 homes could be consistent, Your Honor. We don't know because we haven't looked at it. Again, maybe 1,000 homes is consistent, but nobody knows because the Planning Commission hasn't had an opportunity to determine whether or not that type of development is consistent with the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
So, ultimately, the portion of 2286 that we were talking about doesn't, it is consistent with review under 2232 because somebody has to determine what part is designated and under what circumstances. And again, we would ask that the court remand the case and direct the trial court to send it back to the Planning Commission.
All right, thank you very much. The court will now take a recess until 11:10. During that period, we will attempt to resolve our own video problems. Court will resume the hearings at 11:10.